John chapter 5 tells the well-known story of Jesus and the lame man at the pool of Bethesda. This pool was said to occasionally be stirred by an angel, and the first person to enter the pool after the stirring would have whatever disease they had cured. Thus, the pool was continually surrounded by diseased people hoping to be miraculously cured. One such man was unable to move and had been at the pool for 38 years. Verse 6 of John chapter 5 says, "When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, 'Do you want to be made well?' And then in verse 8, Jesus says, 'Rise up, take up your bed, and walk.'" It's interesting that Jesus didn't instantly heal the man, but rather gave a command to get up and walk. The man was to be active. The Bible uses action verbs like go, get up, and walk, and many others in many biblical examples. Look at Jonah, as God commanded him to preach to Nineveh in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh." Look at the conversion of Paul in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6. "And the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city.'" And then later in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, when God's talking to Ananias about Paul, "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine.'" All these examples show that action is required to do the work of the Lord. Often Christians, though, will make excuses to avoid rising up and being active. We have low expectations of what we as individuals can accomplish, and we'll hide behind the words, "I can't," which really mean, "I won't." We can always be useful in Christ's eyes, and here are two excuses commonly used today by those who think that they're not able to serve Christ. Number one, "I can't," or "I won't," because my past is too bad. Look to the Bible for examples of people that God used despite their sin-spotted pasts. We can't go into all of them for time's sake, but look at Peter, Moses, Matthew, Rahab. They were all still chosen by God despite their failures. Paul's the best example of God not caring about our past sins. As Sterling went over, Paul, known as Saul before his conversion, specifically hunted and killed people who were serving God, yet God still had a plan for him. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 15 again. "But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel.'" God chose Saul to be his disciple, knowing all the terrible things that he'd done against him. And he does the very same for us today. No matter how bad our past, if we've repented, God will use us in his service. Number two, "I can't," or "I won't," because I don't know enough. We'll often claim that we don't have enough biblical knowledge to be useful to Christ. Some might say, "I don't know enough to preach," or "I don't think I'd be able to convert my friend because I haven't read the Bible cover to cover yet." You may think that a biblical scholar would be better in your place, but here's a little secret I'll let y'all in on. Nobody knows everything about the Bible. That's the beauty of this divinely inspired book. No matter how many years you study it, you'll always, always learn something new from it. And that's by God's design. You don't need to be an expert of the Bible to convert someone or to preach a sermon or to host a Bible study. God can use you at any stage of understanding. In conclusion, and here's my big point, in every single New Testament parable that depicts the day of judgment, the person that is lost is not lost because they committed a heinous sin, but rather because they did nothing. Look at the parable of the tree and the fruit in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 35. Parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Parable of the 10 talents, Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. Parable of the fig tree, Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. All of these tell of someone or something that is unprofitable and then is condemned by God. Looking at these parables, we can see that it's not always what we do, but what we don't do. Once again, this is really important. Every New Testament parable that depicts the day of judgment deals with someone being condemned because they did nothing. From this, we can kind of safely say that on the day of judgment, more people in the church will be lost because of the sin of omission over the sin of commission. This is a good time for us to examine our lives as Christians today. Are we doing something for God? Being a Christian is not an active or a passive activity where you sit back and reap the rewards. The Bible uses action verbs like get up and go to show that being a Christian requires you to actively serve the Lord. We must be fruitful in some way, whether it's preaching, cooking for the church, functions, visiting the sick, hosting get-togethers, writing songs, anything. Just make sure you get up, go, and do something for the Lord. Thank you.